Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Manilog School Podcast, Series 11, Episode 3. On this week's episode, we have features about the Manilog School houses, Beethoven, swimmers, fruits, songs, Christmas gifts, and a K-pop Demon Hunters quiz. Plus, our teacher interview is with art teacher Mrs. Edwards. Let's kick things off with Iman from Year 4 to tell us about the Manilog School houses.
Hello, my name is Iman and I'm in Year 4. Today, I'll be giving information about the four school houses, Phoenix, Unicorns, Centaurs and Griffins. First, I'm going to inform you about Griffins. Griffins are fascinating creatures with the body, back legs and tail of a lion and the head and wings of an eagle with talons on front legs. A hippogriff is similar to a griffin. Griffins are often associated with strength and power. Now, Phoenix facts. A phoenix is the creature that is reborn from the ashes, as to say, it dies, then comes back. A bit weird. It is also the capital city of Arizona, Joaquin Phoenix, an actor, and is a type of mythical bird. Phoenixes are associated with renewal and never giving up. Centaur facts next. Centaurs are mythical creatures from Greek mythology with the upper body of a human and the lower body of a horse. In other texts, like in the Harry Potter series, centaurs are considered as wise and intelligent creatures with speciality in astronomy. Centaurs are associated with strength and speed. Finally, unicorns. A unicorn is a mystical, magical creature that are popular in Scotland. They are associated with grace and purity. Unicorns are normally considered as white, but they can be any colour, gold, silver, purple, etc. The ancient Greeks would think unicorns are real. Crazy. Unicorns are wise and fierce. I hope you learned something new about your house from my part of the podcast. Thank you for listening.
Next, here is Bobby and Shaquille from Year 5 with a feature about the legendary composer Beethoven.
Hi, I'm Bobby.
And I'm Shaq.
And today, we are here to talk to you about Ludwig van Beethoven.
Born 17th of December 1770, died 26th of March 1827. Beethoven played harpsichord, clavichord, organ, violin and viola. This is one of his musical plays.
A little bit about Beethoven. Ludwig van Beethoven, one of the most monumental and widely celebrated classical composers, revolutionized the art, from which he groundbreaking compositions and unmatched creative genius. But suddenly, in a concert, Beethoven became deaf at the age of 30. Musical
theory.
Ludwig van Beethoven was born in the Rhineland in a modest family, but one that loved music. His grandfather was a good musician and his father, Johann van Beethoven, was a tenor at the Elector's court. His father, however, had a reputation for being brutal, alcoholic, and mediocre in his musical practice.
Johann realised early on that his son had a gift for music and wanted to turn him into a new Mozart. As a child, Mozart had been performing all over Europe and has been successful in concert after concert. Ludwig learns to play the piano at an early age, but his father's violent and authoritarian education does not produce the expected miracle. Beethoven's death at 56 in 1827 is put down to a combination of factors, including liver disease, particularly cirrhosis and potentially hepatitis B. The autopsy revealed severe liver damage, kidney issues and other complications.
The latest study suggests that Beethoven probably died from liver disease brought on by a combination of viral hepatitis, alcohol consumption and genetic factors.
What did Beethoven write? Beethoven's compositions include 9 symphonies, 9 concertos, 17 string quartets, 32 piano sonatas, and various other works like the opera Fidelio and Bagatelles. He also wrote the Heiligenstadt Testament, a letter expressing his despair over his hearing loss. Beethoven's number 5.
This is Beethoven's most important number 5. Go on and have a listen. A big hard quiz. When was Beethoven born? 1770. When did he die? The 26th of March, 1874.
When did he get married? I'll give you time to think for this one because it's a hard one. Okay, it's a trick question. He didn't. What is his dad's name? The answer is Johann van Beethoven. Goodbye. Bye.
From us and Beethoven.
Bobby and Shaq out.
On to music next. Here is Anissa from Year 4 with the current top 5 songs.
Hi, I'm Anissa, and today I'm going to talk about the top 5 songs, both on the US chart and the UK chart. Starting off with the top 5th song. The top 5th song is Ordinary by Alex Warren. Alex Warren wrote Ordinary about his wife. Alex Warren is still alive and is 25 years old. Did you know Alex Warren is an American singer, songwriter and social media influencer who gained fame as a founding member of the TikTok group, The Hype House? After leaving the group, he's transitioned to a successful music career, releasing emotionally charged songs that draw from his challenging youth, including a difficult childhood and a period of homelessness. His 2025 single, Ordinary, achieved massive success, topping charts globally, including the Billboard Hot 100 and UK Singles Chart. Alex Warren is a singer-songwriter and former TikTok content creator who was born on September 18, 2000 in Carlsbad, California. Next is the top 5th song. The top 5th song is Man I Need You by Olivia Dean. Olivia Lauren Dean, which is her real name, was born on 14th of March 1999 in the London borough of Haringey to a Jamaican Guyanese mother and an English father. Her grandmother emigrated to the UK from Ghana at age 18 as part of the Windrush generation. Dean's middle name, Lauren, was inspired by the American musician Lauryn Hill. Olivia is a Latin name that means olive tree. It was popularised in 17th century England by William Shakespeare, who used the name for a character in his play, Twelfth Night. The play, which was a romantic comedy, features a countess, Olivia, who is both wealthy and beautiful. Olivia Dean is still alive and is 26 years old. Now the third top song, which is Where Is My Husband by Ray. Ray's real name is Rachel Agatha Keane. At the 2024 Brit Awards, she revealed her middle name, Agatha, which came from her grandmother's first name. Born on 24, she was born on the 24th of October, 1997. Ray is 27 years old. Ray was born in Tooting, located in the Wandsworth Borough of South London, before growing up in Croydon. Now the second top song is Golden by Huntrix and K-pop Demon Hunters. Golden is a 2025 single performed by the fictional K-pop girl group Huntrix in the animated musical fantasy film Keep Up Demon Hunters. In the film, Huntress is comprised of the characters Rumi, Mira and Zoe, voiced by Keep Up singer-songwriter EJ, American R&B singer Audrey Nuna and Korean-American singer Ri Ami. In the film, Huntress lead double lives as demon hunters. They square off against a sparkly yet sinister reveals to Sadger Boys, a boy band whose members are secretly demons that are using their popularities to steal souls. Now moving on to the top first song. The top first song in both the UK and the US chart at the moment is The Fate of Ophelia by Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is a singer-songwriter born on December 13, 1989 in Pennsylvania, who grew up on a Christmas tree farm. Her career began with country music, but she transitioned to a pop and is now a record-breaking artist known for her songwriting and filmatic work. Her parents are Scott and Andrea Swift. She is a cat lover and owns three cats, Meredith Grey, Olivia Benson and Benjamin Button, all named after fictional characters. Thank you for listening to my part of the podcast. Make sure to rate, like, subscribe and tell your friends. Bye!
Over to Ahana and Florence from Year 4 now with a quiz all about the hit film K-pop Demon Hunters.
Hi, my name is Florence and here with me is Ahana.
Today we are doing a song quiz about K-pop Demon Hunters. If you don't know what the answer is, then don't worry. We're going to give you some time to think and have fun. But first, let's get back to last podcast riddle. The question was, you have one, Mana Lodge has four, each with 100 students or more. Yours has a roof, ours have hooves. Yours has windows, ours have wings. What am I? The answer is houses, as in unicorns, centaurs, griffins and phoenix. Now let's get back to the quiz.
Our first question is, who is the rapper of Huntress?
The answer is Zoe.
Our next question is, who is the lead singer for the Sarger Boys?
The answer is Gino.
Next question is, who is the lead singer of Huntress?
The answer is Rumi.
Next question. Who has patterns in Huntress?
The answer is Rumi. It is where you can relax. You don't scream or shout. Just take a deep breath and let your feelings out. What am I? You will find out next podcast.
Thank you for listening.
Now, mine in Year 4 has a feature about the top 10 swimmers in the world.
Hi, I am mine and I am here to be talking about the top 10 swimmers. Starting with number 10. Number 10, Marius Kusch. Marius Kusch is famous for swimming due to his success as a German Olympian, his international medals in butterfly and his NCAA division. Two records, especially in sprint events. His fame is also amplified by his participation in the games, his strong online presence, and his detailed discussions about his technique. Number 9, Ilya Karun. Ilya Karun, who is famous for his success in the butterfly stroke events, he has achieved significant international recognition, including multiple Olympic medals and a world short course title. Number 8, Maxime Grousset. Maxime Grousset is famous in swimming for being a top 10 French sprint and butterfly specialist, notably winning multiple gold medals at the World Championships and bronze medal at the Paris 2024 Olympics. He is known for his achievements in individual events like the 100-meter butterfly and freestyle, and for being a world record holder in relay event. Number 7, Matteo Revolta. Taylor Volta is famous in swimming, primarily for its success in the butterfly stroke events, particularly in short course meters competitions. Number 6, Matthew Temple. Matthew Temple is famous for being an Australian butterfly swimmer, known for holding the record in 100-meter butterfly and for its success in both individual events and relays at major competitions like the Olympics and the World Championship. He has consistent presence on the international stage, earning Olympic relay medals and World Championship relay medals, and winning a silver medal in the 100-meter butterfly at the Commonwealth Games. Number 5, Evgeny Korotchkin is famous in swimming for winning the silver medal in the men's 100-meter butterfly at the 2012 London Olympics and for being a former world record holder in the short course 100-meter butterfly event. Number 4, Tom Shields. Tom Shields is famous in swimming for being a top 2-time Olympic gold medalist, a multiple world championship winner and a former American record holder, particularly in butterfly events. Number 3, Noah Ponte. Noah Ponte is famous in swimming for his exceptional performance in butterfly stroke events, particularly for holding the short course world record in both the 50 meters and 100 meter butterfly and for winning an Olympic bronze medal. Number 2, Chad Liklos. Chad Liklos is famous for being the swimmer who beat Michael Phelps in a dramatic upset at the 2012 London Olympics, ending Phelps' 10-year winning streak in the 200-meter butterfly. He is also known for an extensive medal collection, which includes being South Africa's most decorated Olympian, a frequent winner at the Swimming World Cup, and a Commonwealth Games record holder. Number 1, Caleb Dressel. Caleb Dressel is famous for his dominance as an American sprint swimmer, winning multiple Olympic and World Record Championship medals, holding several American records, and being widely considered one of the greatest sprinters in history. His fame comes from his exceptional speed, work combined with multi-event that includes success in freestyle and butterfly events. He is the first male swimmer to win the gold medal in 50 meters freestyle, 100 meter freestyle, and 100 butterfly at the same time in the Olympics. Thank you for listening.
Next, we have Maya and Phoebe from Year 4 with the most popular fruits.
Hi, I'm Maya.
And I'm Phoebe.
Today we're talking about the top 10 fruits in the world.
The number one fruit is a tomato. Tomatoes are fruits, not vegetables, that grow from flowers and have seeds inside. They come in many colours like pink, purple, black and green.
And the second most popular fruit is bananas. Bananas are technically berries that grow on large herbs like plants. Banana skin helps reduce itching.
The third most popular fruit in the world is a watermelon. This sweet and juicy summer fruit is produced at high volumes worldwide.
Guess what the fourth one is? It's apples. Apples are members of the rose family. There are over 7,500 varieties of apples worldwide.
And the fifth one is oranges. Oranges are considered a top fruit due to their high water content, which aids hydration, and their rich nutritional profile.
And the sixth one is, drum roll please, grapes. Grapes is a nice juicy fruit that you will find in lots of stores like M&S.
And the seventh is mangoes. Mangoes is a very yummy fruit. Mangoes are sweet fruits that are a rich source of vitamins and grow in warm parts of the world.
And a really yummy eighth is pineapple. Pineapple is considered the third most important tropical fruit after bananas and citrus.
A really tasty ninth is strawberries. Strawberries are not true berries. They are members of the rose family and have more vitamin C than oranges.
Number 10 is an avocado. Avocados are a type of fruit, not a vegetable. Avocado is a fruit packed with fats and vitamins. Thank you for listening to our part of the podcast. Remember to
rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends.
Bye!
With Christmas fast approaching, here is Ava in Year 4 with some Christmas gift ideas.
Hi, I'm Ava, and I'm in Year 4. Did you know it's only 5 weeks till Christmas and there are already Christmas songs playing on the radio? Today I'm going to talk to you about some of the top Christmas gifts for 2025. First up is Lego sets, a gift for all ages, which started in 1932 in Denmark and is now one of the world's largest toy brands. Lego have a range of collections, including Harry Potter, Star Wars, Disney and Minecraft. Lego also make Christmas advent calendars, which has 24 mini builds, including trees, toys, and mini figures. My favourite Lego build is Dobby the House Elf from Harry Potter. Next up is a Yoto player. A Yoto player is a screen-free entertainment device for children to listen to stories, music, and podcasts. You get Yoto cards when you slide into the Yoto player to play. Anything you feel like listening to without watching or having to listen to adverts. I think it'd be cool to put the Manilodge podcast on a Yoto card. Number 3, Hertel three-wheeled scooter. Hertel make colourful three-wheeled scooters for kids aged anywhere from 1 to 14. The scooter feature LED wheel lights, adjustable handbars and foldable seats. They are available in a range of colours. I think this is perfect for days out, or even going on holiday and travelling through the airport. Next up, new for 2025, is the DJ Furby plush toy. The DJ Furby toy for children aged 6 and above plays songs and games and is soft and huggable. You can create customised music, remix and hear Furby songs, play games or chill with breathing and yoga moves. It speaks two languages, English and Furbish. There are over 20 more games, songs and activities as children keep playing with this weird and wonderful electronic toy. Some games are also multiplayer. No internet, no apps, no problem. This Furby is all about screen-free time. This is definitely going to go on my Christmas list. And finally, the next gift for Christmas is the Nintendo Switch 2. The Nintendo Switch is a hybrid gaming console that allows players to enjoy games both at home, on your TV, and on the go, featuring a design that combines handheld and traditional console gaming. The Nintendo Switch 2 came out this year and has a bigger screen, better graphics, and mouse controls. The Nintendo Switch 2 has a range of parental controls, including managing screen time, purchases, and game rating to make sure everyone has a fun and safe gaming experience. I hope you've had something that you want to put on your Christmas list. Thank you for listening. Remember to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends, maybe even Santa. Bye.
We round things off with our teacher interview for this episode. Here is Ava and Alexa from Year 4 putting some questions to art teacher, Mrs. Edwards.
Hello, my name is Ava, and I am here today with Alexa. Today we are going to be interviewing Mrs. Edwards. Hello, Mrs. Edwards. Thank you for letting us ask you some questions.
Our first question is, whereabouts did you grow up and go to school?
Okay, hello girls. I grew up in a town near Hereford, so a little bit further away from here, in the countryside. Lots of fields.
Nice.
Very nice, yes.
Have you taught in other schools before, Manor Lodge or had any jobs aside from teaching?
Yes, I teach in another school at the moment. I teach 2 days a week in a boys' school, teaching art, and here obviously 2 days a week. And before that I was working in an all-girls school. So it's nice to come back here and have a mix of boys and girls.
So yeah. Were you teaching art when you were in the girls' school as
yes,
well?
Yes, yes. Okay. I did teach art there, which was lovely.
So have you always been like an art teacher?
Not always. I was studied photography as well, photographic arts, and I sort of sold my own artwork as well for a little while. I was freelance, so I've done sort of lots of different things, but all very art related.
Okay. What is your journey through art? What inspired you to become an art teacher?
Okay. I've always loved art, even when I was little. I used to draw all the time. So it's something that I've always loved doing, and I've always just, I think since as small as I can remember being, I've always drawn or coloured or painted, and I just absolutely love it. And yeah, I can't think of anything nicer than working with art, and especially with children who are very creative.
What is your journey through art?
Journey through art, it's quite a difficult question because my journey has always been, as I said, since I was little. It's always been art related. Everything I've always done has related to art in some form or other. It's just been, it's who I am. I just love art and it's just part of me.
Thanks. What is your favourite thing to do in art?
Well, there's lots of things. Teaching you guys, obviously, goes without saying. But I love painting people, faces, looking portraits. They're my absolute favourite thing to do. So I love doing that.
Mm-hmm. Who is your favourite artist?
Okay, that's a tricky one. I have lots of favourite artists and it changes as well. It depends on where I am and what I'm doing and who I'm looking at. And I like discovering new artists as well, ones that we haven't seen before, all different styles of artwork and maybe not such, you know, well-known artists. It's really lovely to discover new artists as well. So I have lots of favourites, many, many.
Is there an artist you want to be like?
Oh, an artist I want to be like? That's a question, isn't it?
Like your inspiration.
There's lots of artists that inspire me. I mean, what I think any artist that creates artwork and, you know, enjoys doing it and, you know, people get to see their artwork is an inspiration. I couldn't think of a particular one. I think there's, you know, there's a couple of artists, like Frida Kahlo, who's very inspirational. She was very sick in bed and she, as you know, she carried on painting because she loved it. Yayoi Kusama, her parents when she was younger didn't want her to be an artist. They thought there was no, you know, future. It was a different time, and she said, no, I'm going to be an artist, and she became a very, very well-known artist. So I think it's sort of lots of nice female artists, actually, I should say. Inspirational.
Yeah. What is your favourite piece of art?
My favourite piece of art, that varies. I like some modern contemporary artwork and I like some. I'm going through a phase of Van Gogh's Starry Night at the moment where I absolutely love that. He's done several different paintings of Starry Nights and I just adore those. And at the moment, those are my favourite.
Nice.
Do you have any other hobbies outside of school?
I have a dog called Ivy. She's like my third child.
What breed is she?
She's a cockapoo.
My cousin has a cockapoo.
Oh, really? Yeah. What's your cousin's dog called?
Cooper.
Cooper, that's lovely.
My auntie has a Pomeranian.
Oh, really?
And my other auntie has, like, this breed. It's half poodle and half something else. I can't remember. But they're so cute and they just keep licking and it's just so sweet.
Yeah, my dog and my cousin's dog, they're like... So one time they brought them around for Christmas day and they kept on playing.
Oh, no, dogs are very lovely.
Do you have a favourite film?
Oh, gosh, that's a tricky one. I have lots of films I really enjoy. I like lots of murder mystery, sort of action thrillers, but then I like sort of sci-fi and I like all sorts of films, really. Oh, gosh.
Nice.
Yeah, so I can't even think of the last film I actually watched.
So do I.
But yes, lots of them. You do like films as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your favourite?
Mine's K-pop Demon Hunters, but she doesn't like it.
I do not.
Hate it.
Okay.
Last podcast, I played it, and she was like, can you just turn this off?
Yeah, I regret that.
Oh, I love it. Yes, I think everybody loves, well, apart from obviously Alexa, which is absolutely fine, K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite book?
A favourite book? I have lots of books. I love reading. When I was a child, actually, there was nothing nice, obviously, drawing and art, but also I loved reading. And my favourite books when I was a child were the famous five books because they had all these exciting adventures. I used to love that. I don't know if you read those now or you have read them.
Yeah. Do you like, there's this series of book called The Slumber Party Pals, and where are these two girls?
It's in Diary of One Kid.
Yeah, and then they're basically, so that they argue with each other and then... And then they forgive each other.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of them was The Lost Mitten. That one's really funny. But they usually fight over, like, you wore my purple lip. You used up all my purple lip gloss for the roller, and you'd only wear that because you knew that Jess would be there. And then, and then it was like, I'm sorry, I took all your purple glisten lipstick. I'm sorry, I kissed Justin at the roller ring. And then she's like, wait, what?
You did what now?
I haven't heard of those, but they sound very fun.
So you also like reading like books that had like loads of art pictures and then said who it was by.
About art. And photographers as well. There's some really lovely sort of photographers, art photographers that I really enjoy looking at as well.
Do you have a favourite type of music?
I do. I like sort of more more alternative, sort of more a little bit of, I don't know, indie, a little bit of grunge, a little bit of metal. I do like all of that. So
do you like really like extreme pop music? So like a song about like Golden from K-pop Demon Hunters.
I don't know that song, my darling. You should sing it to me.
Or do you like peaceful, like calm, free?
Do you know, it depends what mood, because also sometimes if you're studying or you're doing creating art in the classroom, it's nice to put on some sort of classical music or instrumental music, so that's lovely to hear as well and listen to and work to. So music for different purposes, I think.
Okay. Is there anything you can tell us about yourself that you didn't think we would know already?
Anything else about myself?
About art.
About art, about myself. Oh, gosh, that's a question.
Like, was anyone in your family an artist before?
No, actually, they weren't. And actually, when I was very young, my parents didn't think there was much future in art, so they were trying to discourage me from art and study Latin, which was... Latin was lovely and worthwhile, but it wasn't my burning passion, so art was my burning passion, so...
So our final question is, do you have, like, any tips for your students about art?
Okay, just keep making it, keep experimenting, keep having fun, enjoy it, find something you enjoy. There's so many different things you can do, not just painting and drawing, you know, create things, make things, you know, collage, mock media, enjoy it, look at artists, go to exhibitions. Yes, and just because children are really lovely and creative and you've got these incredible brains and minds, and allow that to come into your work and be yourself. I also think art can be used as a really important as a mindfulness tool. So if sort of sometimes if things are sort of a little bit, you know, we're having a bad day, it's, you know, just get some crayons or pencils and just, you know, use art as a form to help. I think that's brilliant for art.
Yeah, I remember when because I'm not good with sleep, I remember I used to, like, get this book and it had really detailed pictures of animals and I used to just colour it in.
Oh, that's lovely. Does that help?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. Unless I just really can't.
And just relax.
Let's say if some of it was sad, you think it would help if they go in a corner and they scribble down their feelings and then, like, draw pictures of how they feel and colour them in?
Yeah, but like in assemblies.
Absolutely, that's true. It links to the assemblies. So, yeah, I absolutely agree. I think it depends on the person because people have different, you know, ways to help themselves. But I always find that if you are having a day when something's made you a little bit sad, it does help just to scribble down, just do some drawing. And you can always just, you know, crumple it up and throw it away. It doesn't have to be shared with anyone. It's just a way to help you express what you're feeling without using words. So, I think it's very useful for that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like people who can't speak, they might also do that.
Absolutely.
Well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for letting us interview.
Thank you, girls. Bye. Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, girls. Thanks, Mrs. Edwards. And thanks to everyone for listening. The music you heard at the start of the podcast was a piece of music created on GarageBand by Maya. And now to close the show, here is Sophie from Year 6 playing Sonata in D by Haydn on the piano. Thank you.
podcast. Remember to rate, like, subscribe, and tell your friends.